Respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami, Dityampi, Tatyampi, Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharma, Saranam, Gacchami, Dityampi, Tatyampi, Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be. be so. Sangam Saranam Gajachami Divyambi Tatyambi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Savadaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply bow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Nityampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Shall we look at this morning? June.
I'm in my go first phase.
Alright.
And I'm going to do the usual, just sort of review what's going on.
Using the opportunity to talk and be facilitated to reveal what's going on.
Yes. I'm having one of those mornings where I believe I'll spend a block of time believing the voices, and then the energy just shifts, and I'm fine. Everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go back, and it's just like first one and the other.
Uh-huh.
It's just kind of been rolling along like that all morning.
And it sounds like you've been aware of that process rolling around all this morning, that there's the voices, that maybe there's some attention on that, and then some of the energy just shifts.
Yeah.
And you feel fine.
Yeah.
And then maybe you're caught up in the voices again, and then like that.
Yeah. And some of the caught upness isn't so much. Some of it is just pure garden variety self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is just out of the moment planning for the future, thinking about this and that.
Those are two of the big ones, aren't they? Self-hatred and planning for the future. Yeah. Grab our attention.
But even that one is not ostensibly self-hate.
Yeah.
All the way out to the end of the thoughts of that process, it gets uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's not, there's something self-hatey about it.
I'm sorry, it is or it isn't?
It does. It always goes.
At first it starts off, maybe it's sort of neutral, you know, and not necessarily self-hating, but if you follow that to the end, that's where the road ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, what strikes me is there's awareness of all of that process.
There is. There'll be times when I'm caught up in the pure self-hate.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we could call it pure self-hate. I don't know if that's a thing. But when there's not much awareness, just kind of believing it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, having hung around here for quite a long time, fortunately, your awareness arises. Yeah. And you know, that's from, I think that's from primarily the practice of turning attention to sensations.
Uh-huh. That's the practice you've been doing for a long time, turning the attention to the sensations.
Yeah.
I love that. Isn't that fun how we see a practice we've been doing maybe over a long period of time shows up just kind of spontaneously in our daily lives? You're aware that there's some sort of, there's like maybe a pure self-hate. There's a lot of that going on. That's where the attention is. And awareness registers that at some point. And that kind of movement seems to come from that training of bringing the attention to sensations.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. I just saw that. I've been believing this morning that this kind of movement is a problem.
That's kind of what it always is doing. Whatever we're doing is a problem or it's wrong or it should be different. And just like as you started out, I just want to talk and reveal what's going on, and that's exactly what just happened right now. So you're looking at it, and you're like, I've been believing this process I've been laying out this morning. There's some kind of problem. So that's what it's saying, but it seems like you're having a different experience of it.
Yeah. I'm grateful for the every other
Yeah, when we step back and we're not in it, it's a problem, and we go, well, actually, I'm really grateful for the every other, the non-self-hating part.
So, that's kind of, that leaves me with a smile.
Say more about that, it leaves you with a smile.
Well, you know, I look a lot at something Sherry said like a zillion years ago. That there's a point to life, it's to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'll get kind of stuck in content. I can't possibly enjoy this content. And when I can see that that's what I'm believing.
Yeah.
Everything just shifts completely.
Yeah. That is the fun part, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. So the difference is we are going to get caught up in content, and that's just what we do. But that movement that you've been describing all morning, to being aware of that, and that experiencing that shift, sounds like that's part of the enjoying life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our enjoyment or our well-being isn't dependent on whatever's going on in the mind or even when somebody gets to believing at times.
So it just all shifts from something wrong to just gratitude for all of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That does leave us with a smile, doesn't it? Maybe even in tears at times.
And just wonderment at great good fortune.
Yeah. Yeah, the wonderment at great good fortune.
And you know, this seems like a change of subject, but it isn't. I've wondered for a long time how people could believe in my conception of a Christian God. And I very strongly want to emphasize my conception of
the one that you're maybe kind of probably you were kind of taught, and then you look at that and you're like, well, how could other people believe in something like that, whatever that conception is?
Yeah. And the longer I practice this long run. I do this practice. The more I can see, or the more I can project that it's possible, I suppose, to reach that the same kind of clarity and gratitude and well-being. From that, mm-hmm. I mean, if it's a person's karma, that believing that is where they are, wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it really
is. I've never seen it that way. I've just begun to get conscious of, oh, I see.
Yeah, I see.
They're doing just fine. They're not deluded into some fantasy land. Maybe a little bit.
But we know. Exactly. If we can project that, we know that. Yeah, there's that process where we're being told that, you know, what's going on, this process is a problem. And it's like, well, really? Because right now I'm in a lot of wonderment and gratitude and clarity. And if that's what's going on here, then maybe this thing out there that seems on one level, one projection is, how could you have that under? Well, maybe that's happening exactly as it needs to happen too. For their clarity, gratitude, waking up.
Yeah.
Wow. Kind of opens things up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It really does. I'm kind of comforted by it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the people that I love very much are fans of the Christian God.
in that conception that you, yeah. So it comforts you. There's other people that you love, and you know, one perspective could be like, oh gosh, that's a problem where they're at. But how comforting it is to know is maybe there is no problem. Maybe it's kind of perfect as it is. It reminds me of how we expand the circle of acceptance.
Yeah.
That includes June, as you laid out earlier.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, that brought up something that I've been kind of looking at, building bridges.
Building bridges.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Instead of walls. Because I happen to know there's something going on about building walls right now.
There seems to be.
That has a lot of energy behind it. And, mm-hmm. And so I went to this place of... Gosh, you know, it's, I don't know. It's sort of amazing that we can find a lot of money or look for a lot of money to build walls, but not so much so to build bridges or reach out to folks. You know?
And it's so hard, isn't it?
It is. It's like, God, what we could do.
Yeah, to press something up, and this is really important. And
right.
If we need this much money, and we'll do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to reaching out to building bridges, it doesn't seem to be the same mm-hmm. importance, the same resource.
Right, to look at what it is that's behind wanting to build a wall. How can we?
We're going to make a lot of money here.
And I just so thought about the work in Cantaloupe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, what an incredible example of how building bridges.
That is a really good example.
You know, that what that does to transform not only a community, but us.
Everybody involved.
Everybody involved.
Participating, yeah.
Right. And so, you know, I went to that place of... I got to run for president. No, I don't know. Obviously not, but... okay, so what can I, you know... maybe if I wrote a lot of letters, you know, what can I do to make people see?
Yeah, or be inspired.
Yeah, right, right.
But there's also a make people see part of it.
Yeah, the error of their ways, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And so it just brought me back to, so yeah, how do I build all those walls? And
yeah, right. There's the bridge, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly.
To, you know, we could maybe get inspired by something like that and then watch it kind of, I'm with you, kind of get taken over by, I know, I've got the clear perspective, how do I help other people see that?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, well, wait, let me track back the walls that I'm seeing and see where those walls are here.
Yeah.
And maybe my work is to build the bridges internally.
Right. And so how hard it is to see those walls often.
Yeah, the ones that are...
Yeah, those are really clear. It's always very clear what other people are doing wrong.
Yeah.
But, you
You're
know...
You're really clear on that one, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm so clear on that one. But what are the bridges, the walls that I build?
Yeah, which we have almost zero training on.
Almost zero. We're
going on internally.
Yeah.
And then, what's the wall here?
And there's that thought of, oh, but that's not enough.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah. That's what comes in next.
Yeah, exactly. You got to do something really big.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not enough to transform.
Yeah. When we say that loud, it really makes it
better.
You need to do something more than transform a human life
right.
and be that transformation for the world.
Yeah.
I mean, we can see whose agenda that is. Whoa. We should be attention off. You know, building the bridge internally. No, you have to go do something more out there.
Yeah.
But when we really look at it, it's like, mm-hmm. what could be more, what could be bigger than that?
Yeah.
And, I mean, especially waking up and ending suffering, that process.
Yeah. Who knows?
Who knows
what effect that has?
Yeah.
You know, just that heavy conditioning to want to see some kind of external.
Yeah, I did this.
External acknowledgement that, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And it just seems like so much of even, the transformation of practice is just not, maybe not so visible most of the time. Mm. You know?
The transformation of practice is not always visible.
Yeah.
Not in that way that you're talking about.
Right.
That I did this and it made this happen.
This made happen. It made this happen. Yeah.
And the image of the butterfly wing keeps coming in.
Yeah. So
you know, what does somebody present in the kitchen cooking, what kind of reverberating effect does that happen in a world of non-separation?
In a world of, boy, I look at that a lot. It's like, how do you, what does it mean to spread the Dharma? I mean, to spread the Dharma no matter, doesn't matter what you're doing.
Exactly.
And it's how you do it and how that, and it's none of my business really, how that affects the whole.
Yeah. But this is back to that newsletter from Sherry, being the water. And seeing that the water is us, and it's not really up to us to decide what we do and how that is going to play out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. It really isn't.
That is a shift, isn't it?
It is a shift.
Than the one that at least for me, been trained to.
It's just such a big shift, and Yeah, I mean, I look at that in morning prayers too. It's like, I don't even know what to say. But what is it? Just coming from a place of just acknowledging, everybody's adequacy, the perfection of it all, and also really wanting the highest good for
yeah.
everyone, you yeah. know, whatever that is. And then I got to step back and say, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, well, there's a nice little process.
Yeah.
What if we started, yeah. instead of projecting problems and inadequacy, what if we projected adequacy and the perfection of it all?
Yeah.
And to allow that desire, that impulse, whatever you call that, to want the highest good yeah. for everybody all the time.
All the time.
And then to just leave it in the, I don't know.
And I don't know. And I don't know.
I really talk about opening things up.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, and, you know, it, anyway, it could go, I could go on, but it, and then I see, too, that doesn't just mean being passive, you know, it's just, I guess it's just moment by moment doing what the heart calls to do in that moment without knowing.
Yeah, and to respond to that.
And to respond to that.
And then the next moment, the next moment, the next,
next
moment.
Moment. The next moment, the next moment, the next moment. I had a little bit of taste of that. There was a decision I felt I had to make, and there was a lot of noodling about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I should do this and da 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 da. And suddenly I found myself making a different decision without noodling. You know, and so then
both of those parallels.
Yeah, and then you know there was a lot of like, oh gosh, I don't even know, did I do the right thing? You know, so I picked up the recorder to talk to the mentor, and it was, you know, this is just an example of going with life,
yeah,
and or going with conditioned mind. So you just do what the moment calls for, and that's no guarantee even that that's going to work out in the way that I think it should.
Yeah.
But it just in that moment, it's what was available, what
yeah.
door opened.
Yeah.
And then you go with it, and you don't talk, you don't think that, you don't noodle it anymore.
Yeah, that's the cue right into the conditioned mind that we start to noodle it.
Yeah.
But what a good example of training and then mm-hmm. an ever-expanding faith,
mm-hmm.
I project.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to make a decision, and so then you go, and you notice, you know the process of noodling, you know that the conditioned process,
yeah.
that doesn't really end up getting us anywhere except for our life being taken over and draining our energy. And then you just sort of found yourself making a decision from a completely different place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like, you know, kind of comes in like, well, how do I know, da 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 da, which was your cue to get on the recorder and turn the attention to the mentor. And the mentor's like, well, we don't really know.
Right.
We're just being here, paying attention, and right here is communicating.
Yeah, yeah. Just going on this wild ride.
Going on this wild ride.
Yeah.
Right. Again, we talk about leading us in smile, so.
Yeah.
Rebecca.
So, to that point about the butterfly, you know, in between never know the effects, something that we were talking about in Sangha recently brought up to me this realization that, you know, how Sherry talks about this turning point in her life when the surgeon who had just operated on her said, you shouldn't be here, I suggest you go find out why you're here.
Yeah.
And I bet he would be shocked to see the legacy of him, that he...
His role in that.
And now girls in Cantalumba are, and you know... Well, not to mention all this, but I mean, just the
yeah.
breadth
yeah, that's
of his legacy,
yeah.
you know? And then we could even go back to whoever encouraged him to go to medical school, and yeah. then, you know, we can just trace
yeah.
it. So we never know what anything will result in, ever.
Yeah, that's a good example.
I find that so inspiring to consider.
Yeah, when you really get the big picture,
uh-huh.
and then we don't have it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really work to try to do that.
Yeah. Yes, which actually is brings me to the Sherry's Monastery newsletter article,
mm-hmm.
because what I so love, well, there's so many things I love about that article, but the it's like a map, her 1 through 7. It's like I finally see a really good use of comparing, of comparison. Because what I've been practicing is I would compare what's going on in my head with one of those 7. Because they're like all you can, it's possible to identify. She didn't make it like a mandate or anything, but here are some places where you can disidentify from.
Yeah, these are some ways that you might find yourself in conditioned mind. Here are the kind of descriptions of that.
And so to compare, there I am, at number 3. I'm comparing. Okay, now I'm at number 1. You know, and it's all over the place. And then when it gets down to them, and I saw how the voice was like, oh, this is great. We can, you know, I can't quite get number 7 yet, but I can really practice with 1 through 6. And what it dawned on me over the course of the week that I've been practicing with is, that was kind of sneaky how it said, well, I'm just not there at 7 yet.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, and then what dropped in was, we can just identify from number 7 too. And I heard the protestation. What? Why would you want to disidentify from that? Because number 7 was, no, maybe it was number 6. I don't know, I don't remember. But I think it was number 6. This is great. You know, this is great. I love awareness practice. What else is possible, you know? And the voice was like, I love that place. I don't want to disidentify from that place. That's expansive. That's exciting. You know, and what she says in the article, and that's a separate in and of itself, because that is still wanting something other than what is.
Yeah.
What else is possible in a way? What else can I see? Like, going for.
That's where we get that don't follow a conversation more than 2 sentences. It's kind of like what June was talking about, that future talking. Mm-hmm. You know, it can start off not seeming like self-hate, or can seem kind of enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Oh, look what I can... But if we look at that and we follow that conversation, that's also a process of separation.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, wait a second, I don't make it that one up. I really like that one.
Yeah.
And just seeing that whole process of, well, I don't really get that, so... I'm not going to use it. And then that life just opening up.
Yeah.
Right?
And just staying with it.
And staying with it, which it sounds like allowed the space to drop in. Mm-hmm. Actually, we can practice with that. And then don't watch the resistance.
Yeah.
Which again clarifies what.
What's happening. Yeah. Because the thing, and it's, man, it's subtle. I mean, it just gets so subtle, at least to my view. Maybe it's not subtle. but it's like, it feels like what is being asked for me to let go is this energy of going for something.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So it seems like what you're being asked to let go of is having this energy to go for something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whether, you know, and the content is absolutely infinite. It really is.
Yeah.
Because the process is what's being asked to let go. And boy, ego can feed anything and everything into that. Going for, and there's some wonderful things you can go for.
That's a really wonderful thing you're going for.
I've been going for things my whole life, you know?
Yeah, boy, that is a subtle one. I mean, that's just one that can get played out and not have anything register.
Yeah.
That going for something is taking us away from being here.
Exactly, yeah.
And it is one of those ones that it's so great to have it, right? Because then we can practice it and have our experience for ourselves.
Yeah.
Because trying to explain that to someone as you're meeting in your own mind was, well, what do you mean? I love that.
Yeah.
That energy, that excitement.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's just so much in that, you know, because I mean, I'm just like on my recording, starting to raise my hand all the time, and all I know is, okay, I'm an addict. This is the drug. That's the drug. Mm-hmm. We can't use at all. Mm-hmm. And that energy that I'm describing is the drug.
Yeah.
It's the...
That's the addicted to.
Uh-huh.
That energy of going for something.
And see, in one way I can really get bamboozled is that saying of, and I don't know, but I'll just say it, is that saying of you've got to go for it with everything you've got, and knowing that the very process of going for it is what will keep you from it. You know, y'all were just talking about in the political, or in the world, you know, and in my political work, we had a saying for that. It was called being an integrated schizoid, is what we would call it.
Integrated schizoid.
Because you go for it, you fight for your issue, whatever, with 100% knowing that you may have to come back off of it and compromise or get, you know, kind of that half a loaf of bread is better than no loaf. So, you know, so it's a sort of a similar thing, but it's that energy of go for it. And with what we're talking about in practice, with that saying of knowing that it's that very thing that at some point you're going to have to let go of and toss on the heap as well.
Then maybe it has a role in there, but it is like everything else. At some point you have to let that go. Because then all of a sudden, if I'm following you, now you're someone doing something. And you're no longer following. You're no longer playing the role that life has offered you to play.
You're the wave, and it's glorious being a wave in the ocean.
It's pretty fun being a wave.
But there's still enough of a separation, enough of the illusion of a someone, that wave will never dissolve into the knowing of itself as water.
I love that metaphor too, by the way, but there was a place where like the wave is falling up against things, like going across reefs, or, and it kind of doesn't like it, and doesn't, you know, and that's what can happen with that going for it. Here comes the wave, well, you're going to bump up it, you know, and I don't like this, and that's not how I wanted it to go, and I thought it was going to go this way, and that can all be a distraction from being here.
Yeah, I love that idea. That's one, it's so funny, I mean, it's so interesting, because throughout any given day, so I have this list of 1 to 7 that we're, you know, practice disidentifying from, and it's like 1, 4, 5, 6, you know, into 2. You know, it's like throughout any given day, I can see the identities. The one just going along, you know, it's probably not going to happen to me. I hear it. There's something else in ways, but my bad. So there's that one. Recognize that. Okay, I think that's where I was caught in, or that. I don't like this. I don't like this. You know, that one. And you know, just all of them.
It's a fun way to practice. For the record, I noticed that you had it in your pocket, you know. So having that list with you, it reminds me how we sometimes talk about how it normally is operating as wallpaper. You know, and we're like, it seems fine. You know, or maybe we're suffering, but we don't really know. We have an idea. And when we have something that, you know, a structure, a framework that brings that process into relief. It's like a flat map instead of a topographic map.
That's what I've been thinking of. It's like my map. That I can refer to and see, you know,
And all of a sudden, because that's what you're looking for, and you know those processes 1 through 7, you get to see them. I mean, there's a reason they're in that writing, because they're very common.
We're all doing it.
And it's not even a we are, it's just a process of separation. Which is the previous training for human beings. So, you know, back to that, there's no problems, there's nothing wrong. We're just getting clear about what that is. And how it's operating. And we can do it just walking about and doing our daily life. Being curious, I think, as I hear you demonstrating.
It really is a fun paradox of that one of going, you know, being that curious, being that, having that drive, that gumption, that want to, and then recognizing it deeper and deeper, or at least more and more frequently, that that's not the end all and be all. In trying to be human, she says, we think we're humans trying to be spiritual, and really we're spiritual trying to be human, but that we're both, whatever that, you know, it's like, and that's just kind of a interesting gig to have in the whole universe of human and spirit, you know, wants to get. And so it's no wonder that we
and it can be a delightful complexity, as I've been hearing this morning, when we're in that place of just watching it all,
yeah,
expanding the awareness.
Yeah.
There's that enjoyment.
That's it. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Not like, oh, I shouldn't be in those seven things.
Got back in number two. Oh, I don't like that one. Yeah.
There was like a point for me. You know, you get a little chart or your win column.
Yeah.
Just to make it, I mean, yeah, to have it be a game or to be fun or to keep that spirit of curiosity. Yeah, that's where those smiles and enjoyment come from.
Exactly. So,
thank you. Jen. The way I've been looking at it is the addiction to being reflected.
The addiction to being reflected.
I think I've heard Ashwini talk before about like that. You know, yogis and that sort of thing, like, you know, you go through the chakras and you get to the sixth, and it's so fabulous that there's that, like, I think I'll just hang out here. I don't want to turn
it up at this level on the elevator.
Yeah. And just because I want to have the experience, you know, not be it. Not dissolve into it. I want to have the experience.
Yes, which is the key in the language that you're saying. Mm-hmm. I want to have you know, really anything.
Yeah. And I've been playing with it in this really interesting way. I've been reporting about it because it almost feels dangerous. But
as you say with a smile.
Yeah, but in the sense of like. Well, so it sparked with, a few nights ago, I had a dream that was delightful.
Uh-huh.
And but it wasn't like, it was a very, what's the word? It was a very human dream. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, sometimes all the dreams are, I talk about flying. Or dreams were just very, I think Sherry talked about it, enlightenment dreams, just things where it's like, wow, that was out there, that sort of thing. But this was a very human.
Yeah, and grounded in, like,
in the
human.
Not so much grounded.
Okay. I won't try that.
But it, sort of almost fantasy.
Okay.
Almost like that. Like, oh, that's so touching and moving and, you know, that could happen. And not really, because it wouldn't.
Not if I could go and fantasize it. Yeah.
But kind of like, oh. And so I've really been paying as close attention as I can with that, because it felt like what we evoked on the process and experience level was an intimacy.
Mm.
And what I watched was, okay, what would happen in the dualistic condition system is one of two things. One, kind of that,
like a longing.
So on the one side of the duality would be, yes, the one side of the duality has two sides of the duality.
Okay.
It has both longing, you know, don't have that. We're just, oh, isn't that lovely? And, you know, that sort of thing. And the other side would be, shut that down.
Shut that down. Don't do that.
Don't do that. That is dangerous. That is wrong. Bad. You know, and it's going to head nowhere good. And it's certainly not the present moment. And, you know, that sort of thing. And what I've been, to the best of my ability, practicing with is, all right, so if this is all life,
yeah,
all of it, the dream, the what comes through the mind, the five senses, the all of that,
mm-hmm,
what is the place of the most expanded awareness,
uh-huh,
that I can have with all of it? And to not assume anything. Mm-hmm. And to, and what I've seen with it is, it reminds me sometimes of how I really, what's really helpful to me, of the goodness is already established. So, if we figure that this is a really good human, as all humans are,
yeah,
and this comes through, one way to talk about it would be, what's the gift in this?
Uh-huh.
And Another just sort of more, I don't know, neutral way might be, what is there information in this? And what I've watched in that, the danger place is, it can go way beyond two sentences. Wow. And just the, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And yet, it seems like all of that is being held in awareness.
Yeah.
Including, that's way more than two.
Yeah, that's not a problem either.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's that invitation. Mm-hmm. Well, is there information for me? Well,
yeah.
You know, is there, and everything will come in at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe there's something about that conversation about that.
Yeah.
But awareness is holding all of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe you're getting to this part, but is that place of, I was just wondering about the intimacy piece.
Yeah, that was the next part. that I feel like there's a lot of information for me in that.
In the
sense that there's sort of been this, I talked about it, I think, a little bit in a group of, you know, we talk about dry spells.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of prayer of, you know, I hate to be demanding, or push something that we're not ready for, but I'm open to, you know, direct experience of whatever there is, right? To kind of in that ground of being divine, you know, seeing beyond the illusion of the separation, you know, all those sorts of things.
So a dry spell meaning, like, gosh, doesn't feel like a lot's going on or not seeing or something like that, or how would you
describe it? It's so funny because it's exactly what was just being talked about in that last conversation. I'm not having a direct experience with the divine. If I could please have that direct experience.
Yeah.
In the prayer, there's always the humor with it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I get the irony. You know, but I'm not really sure what else to ask for here.
Yeah.
So help me out.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here on my arms open. I'm praying to get the irony of it. It's always with humor. Yeah.
So then in that, like, the dream and then all the things that have come through it, come after it, and it's actually a series of dreams through it, you know, after those nights, felt like, okay, what's interesting is that the experience of this is very intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I've been watching with it is, okay, I know what I'm supposed to do here, what the voices, the way it would capitalize on that, because my experience, and we do talk about this sometimes, is that conditioning doesn't come up with anything. It can only work with what's there.
Yeah.
So
that's a big thing to see, isn't it?
It is big, because it could say, like, oh, well, that's just a stupid dream, and then blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
But my experience is, that's not my intuitive sense of how it works.
Uh-huh.
That conditioning can only work with what comes up. So this comes up, and what I'm supposed to go to is all that other stuff, like, this is wrong, this is bad, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it's related to a thing that I now want, you know?
Right.
But if I strip that out of it, it's just an intimacy.
Yeah.
And that when I got to, the other day, just have an extended time of just being in, oh my God, complete quiet and nature and having that experience,
mm-hmm.
you know, having that experience
of intimacy.
Of intimacy, yeah. Just the process of intimacy and the process of love and that, you know, that place. And so that's one clear example of it, but I've been watching it all over the place, like, okay, I want to eat sugar. All right, what if we just really looked at that? In that sense of, I don't even know, even to put words to it, but if I were to put words to it, something like, what is she looking for in that? What's that about? What's going on there?
Yeah.
Not to assume, like, well, that's just this, and shut it down, and don't do it, or, okay, well, but I really want to. But instead, you know, it's the thing I talk about, it's the portal. This is the portal that's being given to me.
Yeah.
Don't turn away from it, because if I turn away from it, I have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this, in this moment, what if so is, well, that's even a misnomer. What if so is I want sugar? Is that so? I don't know. You know?
Right.
But all of what's going on in that is what is yeah. what's being given to me.
What's here.
And so
that's
for me to parse it out in which part is the gift and is really sketchy.
Yeah, that's maybe the dangerous part, huh? Is trying to parse out what's the gift and what's not. Mm-hmm. And what I was hearing in that is, well, one, that really important part of getting that we are goodness. Mm-hmm. Because that seemed to allow the person to stay out of, man, you shouldn't want sugar. That's mm-hmm. bad to want sugar. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, shut this dream stuff down. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, so it allows to just be here and explore whatever it is, mm-hmm. including watching the dualities, yeah. including I don't know what this is,
yeah.
but I know that whatever is here is the portal to the divine.
Yeah.
And kind of what Rebecca was, just staying here, not getting pulled off into, mm-hmm. you know, having a conversation about it or shutting it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does feel like, just back in terms of the, you know, I want this, it feels like our best shot at, the language is tricky. But if we were to take the example of intimacy, it's so clear that experience is available outside of content.
Uh-huh.
And the things that come in are, yeah, but I want it. You know, again, I want to have it. And it feels like we have to move through that because cutting that off also cuts off the intimacy.
Uh-huh.
It also cuts off the process.
Yeah.
So it's like there's this great trust and faith that, okay, well, yeah, I want it. In some way, I'm going to need to trust that I'm going to go right through that portal, and if I stay in awareness, that's going to work itself out in some way I might not be able to see in any given moment. You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, there's a lot in that. So that place of, I want it, we may think, go with the, well, I just need to cut that off.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, knowing that the intimacy is, it's here outside of that content.
Yeah.
But if you cut off the I want it, that's a part of the process of getting to intimacy.
Yeah, because of course what I just saw when you reflected that back is, I'm going to cut that off is the same process as whatever number is, you know, I'm still deciding.
Yeah, there's this big picture going on and I think I've got it and I need to cut this off.
Yeah, I see. I'm a wave. I'm just being a wave. Okay, I'm going to stop being a wave.
Uh-huh.
But see, I am a wave.
Yeah. What is it? Get on your wall.
That's the thing, is like, that's both the gift and the curse, I guess, of being a human being. I actually am the wave. How? So I can't not be the wave. But if I want to be the wave,
uh-huh.
you know, if I, you know, then we don't get the glory of actually being the wave.
Uh-huh.
You know, we have to give it all up in order to receive it.
Wow, we have to give it all up in order to receive it.
Yeah.
What a fun place to practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so helpful to hear the conversation. So the thing that's been striking me in the whole thing for me, the antidote, is the thing you were talking about expanding that circle.
Mm-hmm.
Because, boy, and for me it's very slippery as well.
Expanding that circle of acceptance.
Of acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Because I watched myself have this experience in the middle of the night where life, like something happened, and I instantaneously felt lots of sensations, and then like it seemed like at the same time, but probably not exactly at the same time, there was an immediate thing that starts to happen, you know, like a story started to happen, and then a story about the story started to happen. And then you shouldn't be having the story happen. That's not spiritual. You know, if you were present, you wouldn't be. But the thing is, I just love all of the stories about, you know, I always go back to, this was my Zen story last year, you know, the one where the best student dies and they're all sitting in the, you know, I picture it like a church, you know, and then the teacher like throws himself over the casket and starts sobbing, and they're just like, you know, I mean, this is embarrassing. You know, all the students are embarrassed about the teacher's just
expression,
you know, just being with what he or she was doing in the moment. And, you know, to me, I could just so relate with the you know, it happened to be for me last night. This is not it. You know, this is not it. None of it. It shouldn't be happening. That thing that happened that made me feel the way I was feeling should not be happening. I mean, I had way too much of that last year. You know, we don't need that. I mean, you know, then I got, you know, I sort of tucked it away and everything's fine and living in this little fantasy world. And then I scooped to, you know, well, we better have a conversation about, you know, death wishes. I was just like, the insanity of the whole, like, when really there was a lot of, but there was that mantra that came up. Thank goodness we were told that one retreat. I'll never forget it. Your goodness has already been established.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing to do in this moment except breathe, return to the breath. And that doesn't mean that it's going to feel better. You know, which I didn't know in the beginning. You know, what that means is I'm not alone.
Yeah.
Is that someone who knows me intimately mm-hmm. is there. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that and that can, you know, as I step back into that, you know, rather than into, because what I wanted to step into was some kind of story to fix it.
Sure.
You know, that's some kind of, well, maybe we should, blah, 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 or what about this, or what do you think about that, or, you know, just the whole, but what I saw about that, too, is that I had all of this going. Nobody else did. No external other people. It was all go. So how we can, and I was thinking about the doctor and Sherry, you know, that if I stay in, my goodness has already been established, that's comforting to not only me, but I do think people can feel that, mm-hmm. that I'm taking care of this.
Yeah.
And that, as I practice that, can expand to anybody else. The dogs, the cats, the spouse, the kids, you know.
And that I'm taking care of this isn't the thing that started the sensation.
Right.
It's that
right.
I'm taking care of this human
I'm
being.
I'm taking care of this human being by staying really present in great compassion.
By staying
and remembering that she's good.
Yeah.
Because that's a tricky one for me, like, which was not for anybody here, but, you know, in the sense of, like, I can really think I'm practicing,
yeah.
and I'm practicing really hard.
Yeah, that tension kind of.
Yeah, that tension get somewhere practicing. And really, like, I can take the newest thing that we had the email class on, and I'm practicing it. But there isn't a, but I'm forgetting that I'm, somebody believes that something's wrong.
And I'm going to, whatever, fix it, figure it
right,
out.
Right, if I just practice hard enough.
If I through it.
Right, if I breathe correctly.
Breathe correctly, right?
But the great thing about this sort of just stepping back into acceptance is that that's a sort of, I mean, I can use that too, don't get me wrong, but it is a slighter movement, as well as just remember your goodness has already been established. For some reason, those two sorts of things are a little bit gentler in some way.
Yeah.
Like the word unconditional love, that's also a helpful one.
Mm-hmm. Something
that
really takes the person off the hook.
It does.
Yeah.
Which for me has the experience of everything okay.
Everything's okay.
Everything. That I was overreacting, that I was panicking, that I was creating a story, that I was playing a funeral, that I was going to be the hero. You know, all the things that were going on, like was being described a minute ago, in some way, there was nothing wrong with any of it.
Yeah.
And there's this subtle way that ego takes over practice and comes in so that, well, if we just practice correctly, then none of that would be happening. You would just be really present and probably not feel much. You know, and certainly not get in any of these stories. Just kind of flatline and be, I don't know what.
Which again comes from that place of there is something wrong, and if you would have done practice, then that wrong wouldn't have happened. But
yeah.
It sounds like when you make that movement to, you know, the goodness is established, or the unconditional love, you can see that it starts from a place of nothing wrong.
And there is sort of, as you said, that those are like portals. Like,
yeah.
Like, wait a minute, your goodness is already established. There is nothing wrong. You know, it's like in that minute I can see, also in the stepping back, because I did expand that circle earlier this morning too, you know, that there actually isn't anything wrong with this.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like the wall, you know, that, or the you know, fellow Christians or whatever, you know, that, wait a minute, when we're expanding that, we can see. I might go talk to the wall builders, for God's sake. You know, well, why are you building that wall? And I might really care.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm expanding to, there's nothing wrong with any of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm not, then I'm on one side of it.
Yeah.
And usually, you know, the righteous one, you know, whoever you are, you know.
Yeah,
there's
a me and
them. You know, them, there's a me and them inside, and these feelings are because you're not doing it right, and you have anxiety problems, and you've always had anxiety problems, and you're sick. You know, there's just the whole story that it starts to create
and
about.
There's a story about the story, and
and the story about the story, because there's a belief there's something wrong, and this is trying to make you feel kind of okay because you're inadequate. And you're sick with anxiety problems.
Yeah.
You know, there's never kind of a, what, all of it's okay.
That's a movement, isn't it?
It's a movement.
I mean, the way you describe that too, all those details, I mean, that is the place of being in that. I mean, to see all that.
And in that place, Scott, this morning, I was like, how does a person live? Like, I hadn't expanded yet, of course. So it gets me to this place of, how am I going to live in this situation?
Because this is true.
Because it's all true.
And it's awful or whatever.
And it's all awful. Mm-hmm. And I'm not adequate. Now I can try and talk myself into believing, well, yeah, you are, you know, you're adequate, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Which
would be another story.
Yeah.
But there was that, your goodness has already been established. Which to me says, I'm adequate.
I'm adequate. That's always been true.
It's always been true.
Yeah.
And just because it's true doesn't mean I'm not going to feel these sensations.
Yeah.
That my karma actually is going to feel at higher levels, possibly.
Yeah, might be some intensity.
But if there's some intensity.
As you said, it doesn't mean like everything is all better. I'm never going to feel something I don't want to feel again.
Right.
It just means whatever happens, there's nothing wrong with it. My goodness is already established, and I'm completely adequate to it.
I know. Isn't that like, and just for today, that's what I'm going to rest in.
And for today, that's what I'm going to rest in.
Right. Which I can do. And before that, there's a, I can't stand this. I mean, I should just like take some drugs or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not regular people do. Forget this.
I mean, how do you describe it?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of like a drug taker or an alcoholic, but I, or drink, but I'm like, but now I understand.
Yeah.
Great compassion. Again, for the wall builders, so to speak. I wasn't hating them.
Yeah.
Kind of sounded like a good idea. But then there was the relief. So,
yeah. Yeah, it is what we were talking about, that being an addiction, the whole thing.
Yes.
The whole story, the whole conversation, the whole coping with it, the, all of that.
Yeah.
And the step out of that.
Yeah.
I mean, we can just feel it in our bodies. There's the juice up on the addiction.
Right.
And then there's and just for today, it's okay. I'm okay. Everything's all right.
And as I say, add those practices, I mean, clearly I've had a lot of them before, so as I remember, as I return to that, then there's a, okay, I know it's going to come again. I mean, and so, I mean, in that way, and I know the karma, and I know it's coming. So, who knows when, but it's the, and I know it's there's a, that other place, you know?
Yeah, boy, that's really huge, isn't it? And again, I mean, it's really what June was talking about, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I just know that at times I'm going to get caught up in self-hate, or I'm going to get caught up in future conversations, or, you know, there's this intense content, and it's going to trigger the karma. And at that place, from where you're talking about, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever, I don't know where you're heading with that, but it's like, I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sort of like when I had to walk to my hermitage here. I used to have, like, walking to my hermitage here. And it was suggested that I, you know, all right, do it. And I'd walk back, okay, jump out, rapist, get it. You know, bear, eat me. That was it.
I'm inviting all the fears into the
come on, do it, you know. Dark, it's dark enough, you know. Like, freedom. But I didn't know that yet, so yeah, so yeah. I can do that tonight, you know, all right.
Yeah, I'm waiting.
I'm ready.
I'm ready. I've got the recorder. What do you have to say?
Yeah, exactly.
Bring it,
okay. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but then there's...
Because it's choices at that point are either it's going to expose itself in
right.
talk, and you're going to have the recorder detailing everything it does.
Mm-hmm.
So all I can do at that point is shut up, hide out until...
I am, not that I won't use the recorder, because then it says, well, so see, you don't need to use the recorder. Just in case, I should on record, because it's,
And it's like this image of, like, a picture of you somewhere, like, I mean, you know, just to remind us of that energy of that person who is grounded in nothing wrong, everything is good, I'm goodness, I know that stuff's going to go on, and I'm paying attention.
Yeah.
There's really nothing to be afraid of from that place, and I know how to make that movement to that place.
Mm-hmm.
Here are a bunch of examples.
Yeah. It's so helpful. I got to listen to this recording and record, because when I'm in the place, of course.
Yeah.
Drugs.
You know, whatever our karma is, it's being acted out.
Yeah.
And then, but I mean, just as true to your experience, you know something that will wake you up. You know, there'll be an awareness that'll be, and now you're making, now you're back in the recorder, or you're coming down to group saying, ah, all right, you know, there's just that. That's what happens.
And part of the thing I think I need to make sure and get on the recorder is there's nothing wrong with this. Because that's the thing that triggers it.
Yeah.
This should not be happening.
Yeah,
you should not feel this way.
Right.
The external shouldn't be happening, and the feeling should none of it.
That's so funny, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it is happening.
But it is happening.
And they're like, well, you shouldn't be awake. But I am
awake. Right. Exactly. Well, I mean, I shouldn't be, but I am.
Yeah.
So.
But I am.
Yeah.
That's a ridiculous thing to say.
Exactly.
To me, actually.
I am a six on the Enneagram. Yeah, because mine was a six on the Enneagram. I am a six on the Enneagram. I'm not an eight. So, this would be, I can't try to be an eight. That's not the goal. The goal is to be a six. And that's okay.
It's okay.
And that's goodness.
Boy, that is something we just need to hear over and over.
I always make a big, good recording. So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.